tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing the first half of my interview with dancer, choreographer, actor, director, James Harkness. James is here in Sarasota, having directed the West Coast Black Theater Troupe production of The Color Purple, which, if you don't already have tickets, you should run right out and get. James's interview is delightful, charming, funny, interesting, because that's what James is. So hang on, here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice, oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down you dive, where the child's gone to survive.
About recognizing that other people may want you to be something that you're not. It's about recognizing that other people may be different from you. It's about recognizing that there may be a lot of pressure from others for you to be something, or for you to be what they are, or for you to be what they want you to be. And if you're one of the lucky ones who happens to be exactly what other people wish you were, lucky for you, congratulations, relax and enjoy it. But as a therapist, it's clear to me that many of us have qualities, aspects, curiosities, skills, interests, ways of thinking that are not like everybody else, or not like what other people wish we were or thought we should be. When this happens, when you have a way of being in the world, you have a laugh or a thought process or an idea, a skill or a talent that is disapproved of by your family of origin, by your educational system, by your religion, by your culture, by your friends. This is a terrible dilemma. And most of us are not able to hold on to our essential self in the face of criticism, teasing, punishment, and all the other things that people can do when we're not who they think we should be. And what happens then is that what most people do, and I find in my practice all the time, is that people create a cover story. This is like the spy's cover story. You know, a spy has a cover story because if people really knew who that person was, what they really were, they'd be in danger. This is equally true for us. And so, as very young people, we create a cover story that looks kind of like what other people want us to look like. And we bury those aspects of ourselves, I call it undercover. Fortunately for us, those qualities that are really us don't go away. They stay there undercover, even though as we continue to live out our cover story, we forget we have them. But there's a big price to pay for having denied an essential aspect of yourself. And so the Lynn Show is about saying, hey, if you think this happened to you, if this sounds familiar to you, it is not too late to recover and be who you really are. If you want more information about this, please go up on my website. It is thelynshow.com, thelynneshow, thelynshow.com. Up there, you can click on email me, ask me any questions you have. You can get a copy of my book, which is called When You Can, You Will, Why You Can't Always Do What You Want to Do and What to Do About It. It's about why people can't always change when they want to, what's getting in our way, and obviously what you can do about it. Up there, you can also listen to all the shows I've ever done. They're all up there in podcast. You can listen or download them. You can listen to all the interviews I've ever done. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And the first half of the interview I'm playing today is with James Harkness, who is who he really is, and whose story is interesting because although from the very beginning, from the get-go, James knew he was a person who wanted to use his body in certain ways, who loved to move, and yet his upbringing told him he should be something other. And the good boy that he was, the honorable child, the loving child that he was, he tried to balance both of these. But fortunately for James and fortunately for us, his love of who he really is or what he really needs to do won out. And so we have the talented, charming, self-deprecating dancer, choreographer, actor, and now director, James Harkness, who, as I said in the run-up, directed the West Coast Black Theatre Troupe production of The Color Purple. So, I'm going to play the first half of my interview with James and some music from the show so that you will know what you're missing if you haven't gotten your tickets. Here now is the first half of my interview with James Harkness. Okay, I'm here with James Harkness, who is here directing The Color Purple for West Coast Black Theatre Troupe. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. So it's clear that you are making at least some of your living, some of your life, with the art of directing, because that's what you're doing here. And I only ask one question. And it is, can you tell me, do you remember the very first moment in your life when acting, performing, directing, telling people what to do, stories, any of that?
Are you telling people what to do? That's very specific. My mom told me the first time any singing and dancing happened was I used to jump up and down on the couches, and I used to sing. There was a song called Mr. Big Stuff.
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Right. And apparently I used to sing that song quite often, and I was just always on and off the couch, jumping up and down and running around singing.
To the music, right.
So apparently,
so about how old would you say you were?
I have no idea. Guess. I was, it's maybe three years old,
right,
something
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. But what I remember is, so we used to have talent shows in elementary school. I remember, I don't know, must have been fourth grade, mm-hmm. maybe fourth, fifth grade. And we got together and we decided that we wanted to do a dance.
We?
Just a couple of us classmates. Mm-hmm. And decided we wanted to do a performance for the talent show. And we were like, okay, let's do a dance. And next thing I knew, I was like, okay, well, you stand over here, and you stand over here, and then I think we should do this. And it was two guys and two girls. So we, and I was like,
so whoa. Now wait a minute, then you stand here and you stand here, this is you telling
me
them
telling
what to
them,
do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you stand over here and then you stand over here and then we should maybe do like this. And
okay, I just want to say James is moving back and
I'm
forth
moving
on the
back.
Chair.
Do right. You should do this little step.
Right, right.
And
right.
Then maybe you should switch partners and then we can, or and you two can dance, you three can dance together and I'll do something by myself and then we'll switch around. And I didn't realize at the time until much, much later on in life that I was choreographing and right. staging
right.
a dance number.
Right.
For me, it was just...
natural.
Fun. It was fun. I don't know if the naturals, I guess, yeah. I guess that it was
well,
natural.
Well, sure, you're the one who stepped up. I mean, right? And nobody said, you know, who are you and why are you telling us what to do? And
no, it's just what happened.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely my earliest memory. Is
okay,
that.
So I'm curious. Do you remember doing the performance?
I do, and it actually went over really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, very very much so.
So you liked it?
Yeah, I did. Performing was fun. It was all fun. Actually, I really enjoyed making up steps.
Okay, so now I'm just making the assumption. Maybe this isn't accurate. That some of the movement that you were describing to them, that you'd seen...
like on television and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was also the dances that were popular.
Yes,
that
yes,
everyone
yes.
was doing.
Everyone was doing,
you
right,
know,
right,
it was
right.
a matter of putting them together in a sequence.
Yes.
You know, so, because there were a few dances that were popular, but, you know, you can't stand there and do that same dance. Oh, well, you can if you're in... at a dance or something like that, but when you're doing it as a performance, you know, you couldn't do it over and over again. So somewhere in there it was a matter of putting a sequence of steps together, and that part I vaguely remember, but I just do remember us making up a whole dance to a song and switching partners, and you know, even down to the girls deciding that they were going to wear these dresses that they both had that kind of looked alike, and we were going to wear like pants and a t-shirt, you
yeah.
know.
So you were costuming them too.
All of you were.
That
was definitely a group thing, but it was decided on.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay. So it's just interesting to me. You know, you're saying now, well, you just can't stand there and keep doing the same step. Somehow you knew that.
Yeah, I guess somehow I did. And
I mean, of course, you're right. In performance, it would be boring. But in the fourth grade, I mean, somehow you knew that, so...
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because once again, looking back on it now, for you to point it out that way, mm-hmm. I guess that I did. Didn't realize it.
No, of course not. No, it was pretty natural.
Yeah.
So, okay, so here we have you in the fourth and fifth grade, and you're already directing and choreographing, and you're having a good time, right? Right.
Apparently, yeah.
Did you do anything in high school?
I was a gymnast, and I was on the gymnastics team. There was like an exhibition at the end of the year to show what you learned, and while we were gearing up for the exhibition in the gymnastics class, the modern dance team was out there on the floor of the gymnasium doing their dance stuff. And I remember watching them going, well, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started learning the steps. But this wasn't like popular dance. This was modern pliés and
so wait a minute. I started learning
turns
it?
And things like
how
that.
How did
so
you start learning it?
I was watching them.
You were just watching them?
I would watch them do what they would do, and then I would follow along. But once again, I was a gymnast, and I was very agile. Flexibility was never an issue, and understanding how to move my body definitely was just something that was very natural, much like walking is to everyone. So I went home, and I asked my mom if I could do the dance team, and she said no.
Really?
Yeah. And I asked her again, and she said no.
Do you know why she said no?
I do. It was not something that she wanted me to do. It was not a path that she wanted me to follow.
Was she thinking it wasn't a boy thing?
Part of it is that. And the other part of it is that she tried to follow that career path a little bit, and it was not a positive thing for a black woman at that time.
Right.
You know, she, what beautiful woman that she is, she, you know, she tried for the modeling, and she tried for those things, and the experiences that she had were very negative.
So she didn't want you to be disappointed.
She didn't want
you to get hurt.
And in addition to that, it was definitely that that's not something that boys do. That's not something that my son is going to do.
Yeah.
She had, as most parents do, they have an idea of what they want their children to do, and they, most parents tend to guide their children the direction that they want their children to go to, not watching what their children do and allowing their and guiding their children down a path that they see, well, my son or my daughter really, really has an aptitude for this. And while it may be something more fun, artistic driven, or something like that, a lot of parents go, okay, I think my son should be a doctor, or they should be a lawyer, or they should be a business person, or they should be this, you know, something that's a secure job, which, as we know, that's not always the case.
No.
So she said no, and I asked about maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and then she finally just said, okay, fine. So I went and I auditioned for the dance team, and I made it on the dance team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my sophomore year of high school, and that was that summer between my freshman year. So I auditioned at the end of my freshman year, and it started the next year. That summer, we all got together, all the dancers that had auditioned and made it, and that was one of the best summers of my high school life,
mm-hmm.
because we hung out. We did like a car wash to raise money for the next year for to get like costumes and stuff like that. And I had finally found something that I really loved. I loved gymnastics because I was pretty good at it. I used to roller skate a lot because ice skating was always on when the Olympics and stuff would happen, and I just sat there glued to the television, and I would go on my roller skates and try and mimic what the ice skaters were doing.
God.
So I like learned how to do jumps and stuff like that. Just I would watch television repetitively, and then I would go outside and try things. That's how I became I started tumbling, self-taught, before I took any classes. I used to watch the Olympics, and I would see how the gymnasts were flipping and how their bodies were working, and I would go out in the backyard on the grass. And then I would try it, and I would fall, and I'd get up, and I'd try it until I figured out how to do it. You know, so that's basically what happened.
Okay, well, I want to stop you for a second, because what I hear is that the movement of the body was fascinating to you from the beginning, the bouncing up and down on the couch, the compulsion to watch how other people moved, ice skaters, gymnasts, dancers, and then to take that and try and do that. That's not everybody does that, you know? This thing about how I move my body, being able to manipulate my body, that was what drew you always from the beginning, apparently.
I would say so, yeah. And it's definitely something that I had a natural gift for.
Yeah, okay, good. So, all right, so now you found this thing that really does it for you, right? And I'm guessing, maybe this isn't true, a group of people for whom this is also natural, important. No?
You know, being in a group of people that all enjoy doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and had a passion for it, is definitely a wonderful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone in the world can experience that when you're with someone who's like-minded,
mm-hmm.
and like-spirited. So yeah, it was definitely so much fun.
Okay,
so incredibly exciting.
So we have you now as a sophomore, right?
Aside,
you're in the dance group, so do they have classes? Do they teach you?
Yeah, we would have class during the day,
mm-hmm.
and then later on we had our performance group, and so we would do our classes, and that's how I started learning.
Right.
the basic fundamentals of movement beyond what I would learn and watch on television.
Right.
Which I did constantly. Even to this day, I still kind of do.
You know,
if I see, I record anything having to do with dance, singing, acting, I just record it and I watch it. And I keep it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So singing, when did you start singing?
I started, well, apparently, as my mom
said,
I've been singing.
Yes, Mr. Big Stuff, right.
And when I was in fifth, sixth grade, people would ask me to sing songs that we were listening to on the radio. Then somewhere in there, I think my voice changed. And I kind of dropped it, even though I always enjoyed singing.
Did you study voice?
No.
Did you? No. So you just had a natural voice?
Apparently.
Apparently. Okay, good. Okay.
I never thought of it that way, but it's something that I always loved doing.
So in high school, you're a dancer. Do you audition for the shows?
No. Whatever stuff that I did as a dancer in high school came from the dance group.
Right.
We didn't have theater in high school. We had a drama department that did all the plays and stuff like that. We had choir, did all the vocals, and then we had a dance team that did all the dancing. It isn't until the last maybe 8 years at my high school has now a actual theater program. But we didn't have that when I was growing up. But I also found out, I just assumed that where I was from, if you could take dance and gymnastics and art and choir and band and orchestra, and you could take all of that in high school. I thought that existed everywhere in the United States, only to find out that that didn't exist everywhere in the United States. And I find that fascinating because it was such an important part of not only my upbringing, but I talked to friends that I went to high school with that they never followed that path as I did. But it was a very important thing for them to have had that creative outlet.
Absolutely.
While they were in school. So I'm so grateful to have been born and raised in a state that is something that is available to all children, and it's not something that, to my knowledge, has ever been taken away from the curriculum at school.
Great.
So,
okay. So at any point in this high school dance immersion, are you thinking this is a career?
Not at all.
No, of course
I didn't realize that it was a career, honestly.
So what did you think you were going to do?
Business. There's a lot of things that I enjoyed doing, and it was all creative as I look back. There was a time that I wanted to be a fashion designer, and I had a clothing line that I still have all the drawings and stuff of my clothing line. So I wanted to do that. I was really fascinated by hair, so I thought I wanted to be a cosmetologist. That didn't end up happening. But then I also was a little business-minded. I enjoyed computers and computer programming and stuff like that. So my brain also veered off into that direction. And so that is where, ultimately, I thought that I was going to go because, once again, I come from, my family, like most families, it was like you get a job.
Right.
You know, and so that's what I thought I was going to do. And I set off in that direction. Granted, I've done some veering off. I definitely took a winding road. Out of high school, I joined the military.
Okay, I really want to hear this. So, I want to hear the progression, right?
My progression is very different than most people's progression into this business.
Okay, good. So you get out of high school, you're still thinking business, computer, something like that, and then you enlist?
I enlisted. As I was finding my path, El Paso, there's not a lot. At the time that I was growing up there, there just wasn't a lot there. And it seemed to be the best idea. My father was in the military. Both of my older brothers were in the military. And so discussing with my mom, decided that was the best way for me to go from point A to point B. And so I enlisted. I was in the United States Navy for 4 years.
Wow.
And I was a storekeeper, which was an interesting bridge. I wanted to do data processing, but the military is a very interesting thing. And they assign you where they need people, unless your scores are stellar.
Right. Right.
And my scores were really good. They weren't stellar. So they assigned me these options, and that option of being a storekeeper seemed to be the best. You know, you learn how to manage an office, yada, yada, yada. And so I was like, okay, that seems about right.
Okay.
Like, that will head me off into that
right.
area, and you definitely have to learn how to work with computers, and you have to do this and that. So I was like, great, this will work. And in the meantime, I get to sail the world and do all those things, which I did, and it was a fascinating time. In that time period, though, I had actually stopped performing. I had stopped dancing altogether. And I found that something was missing, and I didn't realize what was missing until I go through boot camp. At the end of boot camp, I had stopped dancing in my 11th grade. So I go through boot camp. Near the end of boot camp, you get a couple of days of R&R.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Orlando, actually. I went to boot camp in Orlando. And so we went to a theme park. I can't remember the name of the theme park out there. And it was the first time we had some freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite fantastic. And there was a little pavilion. And there was music playing. And some people were dancing around a little bit. And a song came on that I absolutely loved. And I just started. I started dancing. And I kind of got lost
yes.
in the music.
Yeah.
And I kind of noticed that people were
watching
and
mm-hmm.
kind of gathering a little bit. And the song ended, and I think maybe 20 to 25 people had kind of gathered watching me dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started applauding. And it was such a crazy, crazy thing. Because I was happy.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I realized what was missing.
Yeah.
But still, I was in the military. I had things that I needed to learn and do what I needed to do. So from boot camp, you go to a training school. And from training school, you get assigned to either a ship or a shore duty. I got assigned to a ship, which moved me to San Diego. So as I get into San Diego, my aunt lived in San Diego, so I was a little bit familiar with it. So I decided one night, a couple of months after being in San Diego and getting a little situated, to walk around downtown San Diego. So this was probably 8, 9 o'clock at night, maybe 10 o'clock at night, and I'm just, you know, kind of perusing the streets, seeing what it's all about. And I look up, walking down the street, and I look up and there's a sign that says Stage 7. And that's all it said, Stage 7. And my head said, huh, interesting name. My heart said, I bet it has something to do with performing. Otherwise, why would it say stage? So I decided to come back the next day after I was done with my duties on the ship. And I came back and it was open, of course, Business Towers. And I walked up the staircase. And it was a nice two-flight staircase to get up. And I came up to the landing, and I heard music.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a reception desk. And there were two windows off to my left, and there were people sitting, stretching. And I had found a dance studio. And my heart leapt for joy. It really, really did. So, and now when I describe this often to people, you know, the verse in the chorus line where it says, up a steep and very narrow stairway. that was my version of that
yes.
moment mm-hmm. of going, it was like, ah, you know, it was really that moment.
Okay.
And I started taking dance classes again.
Mm-hmm.
This time, real
right.
dance classes,
right.
not what we offered in high school, not that there was anything against it.
Right.
But, I would do my military duties during the day, and I'd get off my ship, and I'd go take dance classes.
I'm so sorry I have to go now. I have to take dance classes.
Well, no, once my day was done.
No, I understand.
But
it was
a very interesting juxtaposition of
really
doing my duties and being on a ship in the Navy and going and taking dance classes at night, and it was amazing, and I had the best captain in the world on that ship, because he was a lover of the arts. He's from New York City. So when he found out that I liked to dance, he just, it was great. I got to meet his wife, and, you know, it was just great. And it was a really fascinating time for me.
You were really lucky, because...
I was. No question
about it. Someone else might not have...
It could have been a whole different story.
Yes, it could have.
I used to perform for my shipmates. You know, we would have performances on. When you're out to sea for elongated periods of time, they have a thing called Still Beach Sundays, which is a day you get to relax, but they do a picnic out on the back of the boat.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you cook and all that kind of stuff. And there's a talent show. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, stuff like that's dated back to the beginning of time.
Right.
You know, people get together and you just put on shows. And we would do a talent show and I would dance. And I actually still have videotapes of me performing on the back of the ship.
Wow.
While we're out in the middle of the water. And I definitely was very lucky, because it could have been a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But people were very respectful of what I did.
Yeah.
Still to this day, due to with Facebook, I'm in touch with a lot of those people that I was in the Navy with, and the comments that I get from those people, it's remarkable, because I didn't see myself that way. Still didn't know it was a career. Actually, at this point in time, I understood that it was a career, but it was not my career choice.
I understand.
Once I got out of the military, my career choice was school. So I started going to community college to beef up my computer skills. I started going out for job interviews, and I started working with a temp agency doing temp work at offices. I assumed that I was going to find a business that I fit into, work my way up to having my little office,
right.
You know, my name on the door, my briefcase, and my suit and tie. That's what I thought I was going to do, and that's the way I was pushing myself. In the meantime, while I was taking dance classes at Stage 7, I met a girl, and she said one day, you should come with me to Los Angeles to audition for an agent. And I was like, no, why would I do that? And she was like, it's an agent. That's what you know. And I was like, my brain is from Texas, from El Paso, Texas.
Right.
Agents were things that I saw on television, in the movies. That's what an agent was to me. And I was like, I'm not, no. And she convinced me. She wore me down. And so I said, okay, so
what, have I got
what
to
did
lose?
I have to lose?
Right.
At the end of the day, it's truth. And so she drove me out to L.A. And, you know, the big fish, little pond scenario
Yes. Exists.
So in San Diego, in the studio that I was in, I was definitely one of the better male dancers. Not the best by any means. There were some amazing guys that I used to work with and take class with. But I was good at what I did. Then I get to L.A., and I went into this audition for an agent, and there were more male dancers than I had been around, and I was like, oh, but I was there, so I auditioned, and I did the thing, and
Right. The
agent said, you know, thank you guys very much for coming out, we really appreciate your hard work, if we are interested in you, you'll be hearing from us in a week, within a week, or something like that, and if you don't hear from us, don't stop, keep working, keep plugging away, and come back again, and, you know, maybe we'll see. They called me the next day, and I was completely floored by that, and they said, we have something that we're interested in for you, we would wonder if you'd be interested in signing with us, and I was like, I'm in the Navy right now. I really only went to the audition.
Right. To see, yeah,
for
right,
her.
Right.
You know, she said come, so I went. So they were like, oh, wow, well, that's too bad. But when you get out, if you decide this is something that you want to do, call us. You can audition again, and we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And I was like, out of curiosity,
right,
I had to know what
right,
it was, because there was a specific specific audition that they wanted me to go on. It turns out it was, they were saying, well, it's for Whitney Houston. She has a special event that she's getting ready to do.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, ugh.
Right. Wait. So how long did you sign up for, and where were you in the process in the Navy?
4 years.
How many had you done? I mean, you still had 2 more years to go?
I think I had about 2 more years.
Yeah, right. Okay. Or, so there wasn't anything you could do about this. You had to go home to the Navy.
Yeah, that's
right.
My job.
Right.
That was my job. So, you know, but I was like, darn.
No kidding.
And then I went about my business and had a ball, enjoyed my time, sailed, saw many things, continued, you know, dancing and stuff like that for fun and enjoying myself and meeting people. And then my time finished with the military. And as I said.
Yeah, right.
I started
still,
taking classes.
Even after this thing with the agent, you still didn't get it.
it's more about, I guess.
No, you didn't get it. Your body is saying, life is saying, everything is saying, over here. Over here is where you belong, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I was just like, you. Once again, you come from that thing where it's get a job.
No, I understand it.
So I
but
was trying
so,
to get a job.
What's so interesting about you, it seems to me, is that, I mean, really, your entire life, things just keep showing up, saying to you, this is who you are. And you're such a good boy that the who I'm supposed to be is winning a lot of the time, but never mind, because who I am just keeps showing up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm completely
no,
wrong?
No. No, I guess you're not wrong. But, so I'm doing my thing.
Right.
But the agent is definitely in the back of my mind.
No kidding.
So I'm out, and I found the phone number, and I called them up, and I said, I'm out. Mm-hmm. And they were like, cool, come down and audition again. So I went back to L.A., I hopped on a bus, went out to L.A., I didn't have a car, and I auditioned. They said, okay, we'd like to have you. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Fine, sure.
Again, what have I got to lose?
So I signed with the agency. In the meantime, I'm working at a job. I have a job, and I was working for this company. And the agents call me up with an audition for a music video. It was on my day off, so it was fine. Didn't get it. It was a weird audition. We had to be zombies or something. And I was like, I guess, whatever. Then, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks later, time frame is all wishy-washy now. They call me up with a really big audition. And so I was like, and it was for the Oscars, back when Debbie Allen was still doing the Oscars. And I was like, Debbie Allen? The Oscars? Yes. So I go to my job, and I was like, can I have the day off? I have an audition. And they were like, an audition? I was like, I'm a dancer. They're like, oh, wow, you're a dancer. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, sure, take the day off. So I took the day off, and I went, and it was a Friday. And I had my audition, and I walked into this room. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a, on Wilshire Boulevard, there's a place where they hold things for the Oscars. And when you go up to this building, they have two big Oscar statues on either side of the entranceway. And I walk into this audition. As I said to you, I watch a lot of television, and I would record Star Search. Fame was a huge thing for me as a kid. Anything, any award show, be it the Miss America pageants, or the Oscars, or this, or that, anything that had dancing and singing on it, I would watch them, record them, and watch them over and over and over, and learn the steps. I knew every Janet Jackson video. I still know every Janet Jackson, everything. So I walk into this room, and I see all these people that I have watched on television in music videos, in movies, they're all there in this room auditioning for
this thing.
This thing. And
yes.
And this is not like the agent audition where, you know, I think there were maybe 40 people in the room. This is for the Oscars.
Right.
So
everybody who can is there.
And this was the men's call.
Right.
And the men, the top of the line male dancers in Los Angeles were at this audition. I walked in, I went over, sat my bag down, went to the left, and there were two people who I adore. I adore them now still. I've become friends with these people now. At the time, though, I just went, oh. And they were stretching, and they were talking, and they were doing all the things that they were doing, and I felt so out of place. Mm-hmm. So I picked up my bag, and I turned, and I walked to the door, and I stood in the doorway, and I was like, if you don't do this now, you're never going to do this. So I turned around and I went back and I put my bag down. And I went through the audition and Debbie Allen was there. She walked out. She had her two assistants with her. And they started teaching the combination and I danced.
Yeah.
With all these people. And I made it through the first day of auditions. And Debbie Allen shook my hand and she said, good work. Work on that and come back tomorrow. This was one of my childhood idols.
Yes.
Shaking my hand and saying, good work. And I was like, if I had walked out of that door, this would have never happened.
Right.
So I went back. I went back the next day. I felt like I wasn't going to wash my hand ever. I came back the next day. I didn't get the job. But that was that first step, or maybe third step, or maybe as we're talking about it, there were so many steps.
Right.
Up to this point.
But this is the one that said, this is possible for me.
I think so. Sure.
I mean, because having gotten the call back for the first day, you must have known that you were at least as good as however... No, you didn't know. Oh, my God.
I didn't look at it that way. I just was happy that it happened. I definitely didn't look at it that way.
Okay, all right.
It was just incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
So I go back to work, and weeks pass by, maybe not even that many weeks pass by, honestly. Maybe a week and a half to 2 weeks, if that right. pass by. And I get another phone call, and they have another audition for me for something even bigger than the Oscars. One of the biggest things, and it was for Michael Jackson. And so I go into my off to the office, and I was like, so can I have another day off? And they were like, it's great, we think it's great, but we can't keep giving you days off. This was now the third, there's another day off I asked for. Right. This is 3 days off in the span of a month.
Right.
So, and it wasn't really working out at the job anyway. So a decision was made that day. And I stopped working at that company. And I went to the audition for Michael Jackson with thousands of other dancers
right.
that went to the Michael Jackson audition. And it was a 2-day event, 2 or 3-day event. So I made it through the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it through the second day.
Oh my God.
And then I made it down to the last 12, 13, 14 guys or something like that.
How many were they hiring?
I think it ended up being, they were going to hire, I think, 8.
Oh my God.
I think it was 8. It was either 6 or 8 that they were going to hire. And I made it down to the last group of guys that they videotaped us all together as a group doing the combination. Kenny Ortega, who's an amazing director. He was the director for Michael. He's been Michael's director for most of his career, as for his tours anyway. And I was like, I can't believe I'm here. But there was so much adrenaline and nerves going that didn't, it registered, but it didn't register. Until they were like, they brought us in the room individually, one by one, and they taped us doing the dance thing, and then they were like, and we also want to see you freestyle, so we freestyle. And then they said, now, you can say anything you want to say to Michael Jackson, because he's going to sit and look at all these videotapes, and so just you can send him a personal message. And I was like, I get to say something to Michael Jackson on videotape? I had no idea what to say. And then so what I ultimately ended up saying is, we have something in common. And I was like, I was raised as a JW2. I was raised as Jehovah's Witness.
Ah.
And so that's what I said to Michael Jackson. And we waited and waited and we waited. We waited and we waited and we waited and we waited. We waited for weeks trying to find out if we were going to get the job. Right. At the end of the day, and our agents kept saying, we haven't heard anything, settle down. And at the end of the day, Michael ended up wanting to use the same dancers that he had on his previous tour.
Oy.
So we were all, of course, let down. And then one of his dancers backed out, and one of the guys in the group got the job. Not me, mm-hmm. but the guy that got the job. It was a no-brainer as far as I was concerned. You know, I was like, yeah, well, of course he got the job. But that was,
oh my God.
That was my experience. And what happened from there is Kenny Ortega was working with another huge, huge artist who's a huge star in Puerto Rico in the Latin music market. And he called up my agent and said, we'd like him to come in for this audition. And as long as he works as hard as he worked at the Michael audition, he has a really good shot at getting the job. And I got the job.
Wow.
And that was my first job as a performer.
Yeah.
And I never looked back.
Oh, my God.
And it has led me so many different places that I didn't expect to coming to being here and directing. Ultimately, in some ways, I've always directed.
Yes, even from the beginning.
Even from the beginning.
Right.
But getting into Broadway, which my story getting to Broadway is equally as kind of fascinating. When I tell it and I...
You have to relive it.
I relive it and then it goes away and then I tell it again and
well,
I relive it.
Tell it to us. I am sure that like me, you are dying to hear the story of how James wound up on Broadway. And so tune in next week when I will pick up the story there and you can hear how, as he said, you know, it just took off from there. It's a lovely, lovely story told by a lovely, lovely man. And I will pick it up next week. And there will be more songs from The Color Purple. We will be going out today on the opening song from The Color Purple, a rousing, infectious, gorgeous piece, which just sets the stage and gets everybody going. So, as I said in the run-up, The Lynn Show is about being who you really are. And when you listen to James, you can hear the evolution of becoming who one really is. You know, I said in the beginning, some of us are just lucky enough to be who everybody wants us to be. But in my experience, that doesn't happen to a lot of us. In my experience, a lot of us have dreams, desires, wishes, skills, talents, instincts, curiosities that don't play well with what our parents want for us or what our culture says we should be. And it's a terrible dilemma to know that you are something, to know that you have something, that you want something, that the culture, your family, your friends, your church disapproves of or wouldn't want you to be. When you listen to someone like James, you can hear the tug of war. This is what I'm supposed to be. This is what they want me to be. This is what I ought to be. But God, this is what I am. And of course, in James, you hear what you hear in pretty much all the artists I interview, and that is that the who they are wins. And you can hear the joy, the pleasure, the excitement, the passion, which is what I want for all of you. So if, as I said, you don't have that and you want it back because you did have it once, we all have it, we all come in with it, go up on my website, thelynnshow.com, and let's talk about it. In the meanwhile, as always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use, something that will bring you back, even if it's just to hear how James got on Broadway, because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And now here's the opening from The Color Purple.
Hey, sister, what you gonna do?
Going down by the river, gonna play with you.
Papa don't like no scream around here.
Don't live for the one we chug that bear.
Sure enough, sun gonna shine, gonna be gone, ladies of the marrying kind. Sure enough, moon gonna rise like a huckleberry pie in the middle of the sky. Gonna be alright, gonna be alright.
It's Sunday morning, so make a joyful noise.
Joyful noise.
Joyful. A joyful noise.
Joyful.
Unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today's the day God has made.
It's Sunday.
Yes, sir.
It's Sunday.
Come on, God.
So make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Come on,
thank you, Lord.
When the king threw Daniel in the lion's den, brought him out again.
Yes, the good Lord works in mysterious ways.
When God saw the wicked, he knew what to do. Now, no, I bring the animals two by two. Now, I'm gonna keep your book afloat for 40 days.
Cause the good Lord works in mysterious ways.
Come on, Seely, you're slow as molasses.
Seely not feeling good, Pa. She going as fast as she can.
Seely.
I'm sorry, Pa.
Nettie.
What you gonna call your baby, child?
If it's a boy, I'm gonna call this one Adam, and the last one named Olivia.
Seely.
Living with that man would kill their mother. Now we're gonna kill them too.
I heard about poor child Seely.
Already ruined two child
Seely.
Already ruined two child.
Only 14 years old.
Who the daddy?
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 Nobody know. I hear her pa take her children into the woods and done kill them.
Don't waste your time trying to wrestle with your wild war.
Lord, works in mysterious ways.
God, what the hell are you around when you go?
Lord, works in mysterious ways.
If your pa by drinking under all that weight,
St. Peter gonna lift it and
church, listen here. The Lord is walking with y'all. Walking. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Come on now. The good Lord is talking with y'all.
Walking.
Come on, church.
Walking with y'all.
I'm getting older, my hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring, I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. Singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. On ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have gotten limper, but I won't go with the wind.